This is the Game Buddy Funcast.
All right, guys, here we go again. It is the Game Buddy Funcast. It's summertime, guys, so I guess we can say we've been playing some games. We're just going to riff on some games we've been chilling with for this segment, you know, just doing it, running it through, and killing it like we always do. Yeah, I've been playing. I just got a new game, Adam. Guess what?
What's that?
New game for Sean.
Let me guess, it's on a Nintendo system, because are the only ones that you have that are functioning right now.
Yeah, I guess you nailed it right there. I got that Shin Megami Tensei 4 for the 3DS. I've been rocking that for a bit. Game is brutally hard, actually.
Now, those are...
That Atlas power right there.
Did that just come out?
Yeah, this came out
okay.
A couple weeks ago, I think.
No, I know nothing about this series. Is that a remake or is it a new entry?
It's a new entry into the main series because, you know, Shin Megami Tensei branched off into the Persona games. I think Catherine was based in that world as well.
I know it's the same like team, the same art style and everything.
Yeah, it's that Atlas team.
Shin Megami is the kind of satanic-looking, demonic RPG, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was one of the demons and everything. They're not personas. Yeah. They're demons. So
I've seen friends that have been really interested in that series and play them, and like it always has like a really striking like visual art style that I always thought looked really cool.
Yeah, like the art's really good on it. So I think I'm about like probably halfway into it right now. Just made it to Tokyo, I guess. Spoiler alert to folks who didn't know that. But it comes with the strategy guide, so I'm pretty sure you could look at the strategy guide anyways at some point. But yeah, it's good though. I mean, it's kind of slow at parts though, it seems. Sometimes there's like the battles are just consistent because they just keep running at you. And sometimes you just don't want to battle them. I remember I was like in the, like the first like 10 minutes, like the training mission, like the first mission I died on like twice in a row. It's pretty difficult. Other than that, I've also been doing a little bit of Civilization 5. I got the new expansion, Brave New World. And that I think that added a lot to that game, by the way. I don't know how privy you are to the Civilization series, Adam.
Not very privy at all, yeah. I never played them.
But, yeah, it's pretty deep. I'm in, like, a marathon game right now, and it just keeps going. I was actually distracted pretty much for the most part of the day just playing that.
Now, you're playing that on your Mac, right?
Yeah, I'm doing it on my Mac.
That runs pretty – because I think you and I have the same model year make of the iMac, so
yeah,
I don't know, like, if it runs pretty well or
– Yeah, it runs pretty good on it. I ain't running up on high unless I'm playing somebody online.
Okay.
And it slows down just a little bit. Things are going good on that. And, hey, Adam.
What's that?
I heard you got a couple new games today.
I did. I got two 3DS titles that I've talked about. Well, one of them I usually mention at least every episode. I finally bit the bullet because it's currently part of Best Buy's back-to-school sale, and I finally took the plunge and purchased Style Savvy Trendsetters. I'm looking at it right now. Create your own fashion dynasty. Over 12,000 items, including bags and accessories. Design your own boutique and apartment. There are gothic, sporty, luxury, retro looks for every taste. So,
how are you enjoying that game? Seems how you always talk about it.
Yeah.
We always make fun of you for talking about it, but how do you like it?
I put in probably 2-3 hours with it, and it's not anything like I expected based on the two demos that were available on the 3DS shop. Because in those demos, it must be, you know, kind of further along in the game where you're an established fashion designer. But this kind of starts you out at the bottom. You're an assistant to a stylist who has her own little boutique, and you know, I'm just kind of learning the ropes and learning the different brands of clothing, which is crucial because you have to learn which brands are which styles and which tastes. So like I said, you know, they're the different styles, like, you know, the sporty, the luxury, et cetera. A bit of work, you know, you have to put into playing this game. It doesn't really play itself, and it has a bit of a story, which I wasn't really expecting, and pretty interesting characters. Yeah, I'm still disappointed that I couldn't create a male character to play as. which I've read that you can in the Japanese version. I just did the next best thing and made like a lesbian cowgirl as my character. It's nice. It's actually, I mean, everyone thinks I'm just being funny for being into this game. It's actually, it's a nice product. Like there's definitely like, you know, love and thought put into this video game.
So you're really getting your kicks off on it pretty much. How's Steel Diver? You also got
That was also part of the sale. And I swear I don't work for Best Buy. This one was $5, which
it was a launch title, though. It was a launch title with 3DS.
Yeah, and it didn't exactly set the world on fire, but I really, really like it. It's a very I'm trying to think of a way to describe it. It's very Nintendo, which may come as a surprise because it's just kind of like a little – you know, a very kind of plain submarine, what looks plain, little submarine game, that focus in the design of it that only Nintendo does.
So like it's like a Nintendo-only type thing on it?
Well, it feels almost like a modern NES game, like a weird NES title that they would have made, you know, back in the 80s, you know, late 80s. It's very complicated.
It's
incredibly difficult because it's just a little submarine arcade game. The way it works is everything that you use to control the actual submarine is all done from the bottom touchscreen. So you don't use any of the buttons or the D-pad. So you're
stylus and move that around.
You're literally using the stylus to pull down levers and hit buttons. See, like there's a torpedo launch button. It almost reminds me of like if there was a 3DS version of Steel Battalion, which I never had the opportunity to play. Do you remember Steel Battalion? That was like a $300 Xbox game.
Yeah, I remember that game. Yeah.
It had the giant controller. It's almost kind of like like Nintendo's very simplified version of that, where you're kind of it's all about multitasking, you know, like, oh, well, I have to adjust the elevation, but I also have to dodge this incoming missile attack. It gets very, very complicated, but it's very satisfying.
Oh, awesome, man. Sounds pretty good.
Pretty
solid.
I know a lot of people were kind of down on it when the 3DS launched, because I think $40 was probably a bit much, because it doesn't seem like there's a ton of content here. But I think if, you know, at $5, it's definitely
it's doable,
a good pickup. And, you know, I like these weird kind of very simple arcade-like Japanese title, and especially when they're from Nintendo. But while we are talking about Steel Diver, I don't know if we've mentioned this on the show or if you picked up on the news, I think it was around E3, it came out that they're actually making a free-to-play Steel Diver, which is going to be Nintendo's first free-to-play title. I don't think they announced it's going to be on Wii U or 3DS.
Probably be on Wii U.
I'm hoping maybe it'll be both, but I think like a Wii U version of this game would be phenomenal. I would actually like to see them do some kind of multiplayer with this idea for a game, because, you know, we all know with a submarine, you have a crew that's on it and everyone has their own – is assigned their own task, right? So yeah, I'd like to see them do that where, you know, maybe the person with the stylist has the periscope, because they do that in between the levels on this game. You do the down periscope where you're actually moving around in your seat. It uses like, what is that? The gyroscope.
Yeah. The gyroscope
and
on
you're
it.
Like, you're kind of like firing torpedoes through that, but maybe they could do something, some really cool multiplayer stuff on the Wii U with that. Yeah. I think it'd be great. I don't know. I think maybe in 2013, this game is maybe a hard sell because it's so simple. But I like that.
But if it's free to play, though, I mean, it's no entry barrier.
Yeah, really. I'm interested to
get it and mess around with it.
Interested to see how Nintendo pulls off a free to play, because You got to give Nintendo credit. Like they really don't really nickel and dime you that much like other
companies
do. And it'll be interesting to see them do their take on a free to play. And I hope they manage to keep it classy. But I just don't know if this
transactions up the wazoo.
Yeah, the thing about this game is like I can't really tell if it's addictive enough to merit a free to play, because free to play, your game kind of needs to be like a slot machine, like really fast paced. Steel Diver is incredibly slow, which I think kind of turned a lot of people off. I mean, it's very, you're in a submarine, you know, and it's very plodding and it's tedious. I would describe it as, but I think it's fun. I think it's really cool. And like I said, that sale's probably running all week. So there's probably plenty of copies at your local Best Buy of this. So, skip your $5 Starbucks on during the week and pick it up, because it's an interesting little game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it looks pretty interesting and everything. So, I mean, me personally, though, I don't know. I might pick it up. I've just been busy recently, so I mean, we'll see.
I think that no 3DS collection is complete without Steel Diver, so I think you should get it. It has amazing cover art too. I think it looks really cool. I just love it, man. It's a video game, you know.
Video games, kids. Cause that's what you gotta do.
I really like the way that Miyamoto was like, this was his baby. That's another reason it's like I had to check it out, because it's like,
speaking of Miyamoto, yeah. Did you hear he's making another game?
It's probably Steel Diver.
No, it's going to be a new franchise. He's going to be making a new franchise.
Hopefully it's a downloadable game. Well, here's the quote on Miyamoto on Steel Diver, and this really sums up the game and why I like it. Shigeru Miyamoto described it as being almost like you have your own submarine pet in an aquarium. I like that. I think that's like really cool. Yeah. And it's totally, that's what it is. Yeah.
We got another Miyamoto based game coming out. Pikmin 3. Yeah. That's coming out a couple weeks.
Really? That's it?
Yeah. August 5th.
Yeah. So, I'm interested to.
Wii U gamers rejoice. There's a game coming out. That looks worthwhile.
The Pikmin is like, man, I think we've talked about this before. Like, I'm just not convinced that, like, even most Nintendo fans Pikmin.
No, I'm convinced right now, sir, because you know how long it's been since I had a game to play on my Wii U?
Yeah. Well, we know you're excited about it. You like the old ones. You were one of the 100 people that played the originals, so. But,
Pikmin
I don't know,
has a lot of love out there, man. Pikmin has a lot of love.
I think it's the most, like, I don't know, tedious of the cutesy Nintendo games that they make. Like, I don't know, but you know, whatever. It's not my cup of tea, but I definitely understand the appeal.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome, man. Just wait. And just wait till it comes out and gets like freaking good reviews and people buy it and people buy Wii U's to get this game because it's like just like kicking ass, taking names.
Oh, you think that's a killer app, huh?
That's the killer app right there. It was one of those launch window games right there. Yeah. So folks, because it's still going on right now.
Because when Pikmin came out on GameCube, people just ran out to get it. They had to have it.
That's why they bought the GameCube, dude. Luigi's Mansion, what's that? No, we're getting Pikmin with it.
Pikmin wasn't a launch title on GameCube, was it? It was.
I thought it was. It was launch window. It was launch window.
Which means two
that's my favorite word right now. That's 2 years Nintendo
up to
time.
2 years on the Nintendo. Launch years.
Launch window. It's this launch window game, guys.
I think Nintendo should say, this is definitely going to come out before our next system. They should just start saying that.
Yeah. Oh, also, Wonderful 101 is coming out in Europe pretty soon as well.
I thought I read that it comes out in August in Europe, but we have to wait until the first week of September or something along those lines. But that's just around the corner.
I mean, that's fine, man. I'm perfectly okay with Europe getting it first, because they usually have to wait a lot longer to get games.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out like in the end of August and the first half of September. There's a lot of heavy hitters.
Yeah,
you have Grand Theft Auto. You have you know, Wonderful 101, Rayman. There's a lot of stuff.
Rayman's finally coming out.
That comes out in the first half of August.
Then you got the new generation of consoles that are gonna be launching sometime around there too.
Yeah, I guess that's why we're kind of getting bombarded in the fall or late summer, early fall, because they kind of have to get everything out the door before the new systems
come out. They want people to buy those systems up.
This always happens though, Sean. Like at the end of the generation, all of these great games come out.
And then when the new generation comes out,
and you're like, man, there's not really a lot here. I think I'm just going to play these awesome games.
Awesome games on my 360 or PS3.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the launch? The launch titles for the Xbox One and the PS4, like
they're not sports.
They're not doing anything for them. I know a lot of people are excited about what's the big one? The one that the Piper loves. Yeah, that's
But that's coming out on Kirch and stuff too. You know.
Yeah, but
I think it's going to be a little bit like the Xbox 360 PS3 version. I don't really see a huge leap there. I mean, I could be wrong.
The graphics definitely will be head and shoulders above the current gen, I think. Just in terms of clarity.
I got to see some comparison videos, I guess, first. But
yeah,
really, when Gun released on Xbox and Xbox 360, there wasn't that big, huge of a leap between the two graphics, the two games. So
yeah, I know I was kind of telling you about my experiences with Far Cry 3, because I've been playing that a little bit, and man, like I said, that feels like a next gen game that was just squeezed onto current gen. I mean, I'm playing the 360 version, and it's so ugly and so choppy. Yeah. So I think you're definitely going to see kind of a smoothness on the next gen versions. If you're like me and you know that there's a better something out there than what you have that's attainable, and it's not that difficult to obtain, like it'll drive you crazy. Now I know a lot of people could say, but Adam, you don't play PC versions of new games I think that's a little different. I mean, PCs are I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they're a little bit more expensive than $400 to play. Like,
yeah, they are, but it's only like $200 more though, so it's not really that bad for what you get on it.
But I think I don't even know if I'll be able to play a 360 or PS3 version of a game that I know is like looking so much better. It'll drive me. I mean, I'm that way with this Far Cry 3. Like, I'm like, man, I don't even want to look at this. Like, I'll just go over to someone's house that has a really nice PC and look at it. But that game is not really my cup of tea anyway, I don't think. But I know definitely with like what the cross-gen game I'm really looking forward to is that new Shinji Mikami, The Evil Within. Like, there's no way I'm playing the 360 or PS3 version. I gotta have the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox version of that, even though they probably won't look that much different. But that game's not coming out for a while though, so it's next year. But unless I'm in a terrible accident and I can't spend $400 on a PlayStation 4, like, oh, I should be good. But
yeah, this is just kind of like a wait and see type thing. So most part though, like I said, I'm not expecting huge changes though.
Yeah. So have we talked about
first launch things?
Sean, have we talked about my next gen purchase dilemma on the show yet? I can't remember.
You wanting to either get the Wii U or the PlayStation 4?
Yeah. I'm still really torn.
I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but we might have.
I think maybe we should.
You still haven't made your decision?
I think maybe we should go to our Twitter and our Facebook and get a poll going.
And then maybe we should do a special segment where we do Adam Johnson's The Decision.
Yeah, I like that. Adam Johnson's The Decision. I like that.
Yeah, we're just going to steal LeBron James' thunder here. You know,
I just don't know. Like, what do you think? Because, like I said, I could spend $400 on a PlayStation 4 and be the cool kid that has the cool new system that everybody's you know, raving about.
And still waiting for games.
Well, I think there's probably going to be like a handful of games, especially like the indie stuff that's going to be on that I'd probably be happy with. But what should I get? Should I get the Wii U and get Donkey Kong and that new Mario 3D World that I'll love? And what else? There's some other stuff too that I'll want. Wonderful 101, you know, or should I just get a PlayStation and just, you know, feel good that I'll have the true next gen, but not have Donkey Kong.
Well, I think it's going to be kind of hard for you to get the PlayStation 4 right off the bat now anyway, due to the fact all the pre-orders are out on it.
See, chances I didn't even think about that, Sean. I didn't even think about that. And I think Nintendo, that probably will make them happy because they're like, hey, they're not even going to be able to get, you know, the cool system. Like, they're going to have to get one of these because they won't have a choice.
They'll have to get the Wii U, guys.
They'll have to get our happy, colorful, cartoon, joy-filled games.
They'll have to pick up our Donkey Kongs, our Marios, our Mario Karts, our Wonderful 101s, our Super Smash Brothers.
They won't have a choice but to have fun.
They have to have fun.
So,
finally,
man,
made our break, guys.
I think you may have just convinced me, because it probably will be kind of hard to get that PlayStation. So,
yeah, I'll have the PlayStation 4 unlocked.
I may just have to get a Wii U, which will maybe not be as expensive as it is now. Mm-hmm. Maybe a price cut on the horizon.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe not. Probably not.
So you're guessing that they're kind of banking on having those little handful of great games to sell it?
Yeah, they're going to have their system sold. I think people are going to start buying it. Hmm. It only took them a year, guys, but I think Nintendo's going to be back on track.
See, as someone that's going to buy one,
but I don't foresee a price cut.
I don't think anyone's going to buy it, Sean. That's just my – you know what? And we'll come back to this.
Well, you're gonna buy it. You're gonna buy it, Adam. So
yeah, but I'm a grown man that likes those kind of games. Like, I don't think there are a lot of Adams out there that are like, I have to have that new Donkey Kong Country, or I have to have the 101 101. I don't think there's enough me's out there to really sell the thing, and I don't even know if kids want that stuff anymore.
Well, parents are going to buy it for the kids because kids have no real say in the matter.
I think
so. It doesn't matter.
I think kids are getting older so fast that like most 6-year-old boys are just, they want to go straight to Call of Duty. And I think their parents are more than happy to oblige them.
Yeah. It's so probably the case right there.
We will see though. But I'm definitely going to get one. I think before I get a PlayStation, and
don't say yet, because we gotta.
Yeah, I said I
hype this up and do our decision. We have to do the decision. Okay. So don't spoil it yet for us. But wait till next episode to find out about that.
Hey, you know what else I played this last couple weeks since our last show?
What's that?
I played that new Tomb Raider game.
Oh yeah, you were talking about that.
That was really, really good, I thought. And I'm not a full disclosure. That's the first Tomb Raider game I've ever actually played through that I didn't hate.
Wow.
Quite the contrary, I thought it was phenomenal. It was really, really good, I thought.
It was Uncharted, so I'd hope you liked it.
Yeah, but Uncharted was just kind of a souped-up Michael Bay Tomb Raider, so you can't really play that card, I don't think. But it's really good, and that's really cheap now, too. Like, touché. At the place that I rented it because I've been known to do that. But yeah.
One of the few that still does that.
Yeah. Well, there's one just down the street. I'd be a fool not to. You know, I could go spend a couple bucks and play a new game and have money left over for stuff that matters, like Style Savvy. After I played it, I was like, I should have just bought it because they were selling it for $20 used. I think you could find it for that probably in most places.
Plus, you have PC. They were doing it on the Steam Summer Sale. That was games.
And you know what? Unlike the Far Cry 3, I played it on 360. One of the most gorgeous games I've ever seen running on that machine. It looks phenomenal on 360. Looks really, really good. couldn't believe how good it looked. And I've seen the PC version because I've seen it on John's PC. And oh man, I mean, it looks that. That's another one of those games where it's already like a PlayStation 4 game on PC. Like it looks next gen, running on a decent PC. But yeah, the 360 version, it really held up. I was really, really impressed with it. But
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's definitely something if you don't have a PS3 and you only had a 360 and you always kind of wanted to play an Uncharted, like it would totally scratch that itch and then some. And honestly, this is kind of controversial. I thought it was actually better. I liked it more, and I liked the first two Uncharted games. I loved them, not so much the third one, but I thought the just the moment to moment game mechanics were very, very just kind of snappy and more fast paced than Uncharted. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, definitely, man. Mm-hmm. But hey, man, I think that's going to wrap us up on our first segment here. I got work in the morning, so. I think we're going to wrap it here, guys. We'll see you after the break.
Did you see the latest Nintendo newsletter?
Whoa, nice graphics. I'd like to get my hands on that game.
You mean you haven't played it yet? We can play it on my Nintendo Entertainment System.
It's The Legend of Zelda, and it's really rad. Those creatures from Ganon are pretty bad. Octoroks, Tektites, Leavers, too. But with your help, our hero pulls through. Yeah, go, Link. Yeah, get some.
Awesome.
Intense.
The Nintendo Entertainment System. Your parents help you hook it up. The Legend of Zelda sold separate.
All right, guys. Welcome back from the break. I'm happy to say right now we have Ryan from This Week in Revival Movement joining us right now.
Hello, I'm back, y'all.
We have Mike, a.k.a. Mog, from The Syndicate as well, and we're going to talk some big things, what's going on with their guild right now. Just turned 17 years old, celebrated that, you know, probably last in the spring. How's it going, Mike? How you doing?
It's going great. Thanks for the invite. Really been looking forward to doing this podcast.
Yeah, really happy to have you on. And we also have our good buddy John. He decided to wake up and come join us on this show.
How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks.
All right, guys. So yeah, guys just turned 17 years old. I mean, you guys have to be like one of the biggest guilds and have the biggest presence on any MMORPG out there.
Thanks. I think that's probably a myth more often than not. Even though we are a super large guild, I think there's over 1,200 of us now. I think our core nucleus of whenever we really mass on a server is somewhere around 200 to 500. But we certainly enjoy playing with one another.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you guys go way back since like the Ultima days, right?
That's right. The game started on the first Ultima back in 1996, and it's evolved ever since then. And I guess our current active platforms, believe it or not, we're still on Ultima. We haven't left that as our roots, and we've obviously been playing World of Warcraft with everyone else. But we are in one of those transition phases now. Looking for that next great MMO to move to.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, do you guys have like the like kind of the default MMO that you guys all kind of congregate on?
What our guild master Sean Stalzer, aka Dragons, likes to do is he defines two major platforms for the guild to run on. So we have only two official platforms, and then what we like to do is we like to have outposts or unofficial platforms, and a lot of those outposts for us are really extensions of when we consult with game designers like Sony or Electronic Arts, like Star Wars The Old Republic, where we help them launch the game and then we stay with the game for quite a long time. Sometimes we call it an official platform, sometimes we don't, but right now, Star Wars The Old Republic is an outpost for us.
What kind of are your kind of default platforms?
They are a fantasy MMORPG. We have tried for some reason or the sci-fi genre, and we just can't hold into that. We've dabbled with the first-person shooter like DayZ, and it only seems to take a small outing of our guild, like maybe less than 100. We really can't get that 500-plus grouping like we have on Ultima and WoW.
So those are probably your main two that you're on right now is Ultima and WoW.
Yeah, they certainly are. And they'll continue to be until we see the next big one launch. And, you know, one of those big ones could be EverQuest next. and we just have to wait for Sony Live this week for the announcement.
Yeah, really excited to hear about that and everything. We'll discuss this more in our next segment, obviously, about some of this other stuff. But like I said, I want to focus really right now on what's coming up for you guys. Like I said, you have a convention coming up.
That's right. We have what we call Syndicon 13, or effectively, it's really the Syndicate convention. And I think 3 or 4 years ago, John Smedley officially branded it SynCon. So we sort of ran with his branding. The actual number, the 13, just represents the year it's in. So it's Syndicon 13. It's going to be in Fairfax, Virginia, and it's going to be the weekend of August 14th through the 18th. So we're really looking forward to that. Going to have a great time.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine you guys get together, play some games, like just talk to each other. Good meeting ground to actually meet up with the guild and talk to them and decide what's next pretty much, right?
Boy, you really hit it on a whole bunch of dimensions there. So, yeah, it's a global conference, which most everybody in the guild who can flies in. So we have a lot of contingent people flying from Germany, South Africa, the Netherlands, England, Ireland. Of course, most of the people in the U.S. fly into it. A lot of it is just meet and greet. We get to play a lot of board games. Alienware is a sponsor of it, so they set up a 10 or 15 machine LAN party for us, and then we go out and we do some raiding activities on WoW or Ultima Online, or we just play some seg games, and those are awful lot of fun too. A lot of first-person shooters.
See who's the top guy over on the old Battlefield or Call of Duty.
Yeah, yeah,
the top dog is.
It's always it always makes you feel great when the 12-year-old gets you. but at least you get to see that person in the room when they get you, and you know it's quite funny when it's one of your friends' little girls doing it to you.
Very true.
But it is a great time. We do have a bunch of developers coming this year. Our primary guest speaker is going to be Richard Garriott. He's going to be coming in and talking about, of course, his landmark Kickstarter program that he's working on right now, which is Shroud of the Avatar, and we're really excited to work with him on that. In addition to that, we have the Elder Scrolls team with Bethesda Studios coming in. We also have Mark Jacobs as a guest speaker. Perhaps you guys remember him from the old days of Dark Age of Camelot.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's got an exciting program on Kickstarter he's working as well, and we'll be supporting him there. So we'll be getting a chance to see some of the product in the design phase as well as pre-alpha and alpha phases as well. So we look forward to making those games for the entire online community as best as they possibly can be.
So you got that going on. Like I said, how was your guys' big jamboree bash of turning 17? How did you guys enjoy that?
It's always sort of weird because we always have an artist come create some art for us, and we post that on our website. In fact, if you go to the website, you'll see the new art there. And so it's quite exciting every year to go ahead and throw a bash and have new art. Almost all the art on our website is unique to our guild because we have an artist we commissioned to create that. Last year's art, I believe it was actually a floating city, Arx Draconis, but that goes back to the days of Ultima Online where we have our city.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're really excited about turning 17. We're getting really close to the big 2-0.
The big 2-0, yeah.
It's sort of weird to think it's been around that long.
Yeah. Well, it's quite an accomplishment, man. Congratulations. Well,
yeah, you only got 1 year left and your baby's going to be legal. So better watch out for those guys.
Yeah.
That's a classic. I'll have to make sure everybody hears about that one at the conference this year. Thank you. That was the best joke of the day.
Just wait till she starts drinking, though. That's
that's the problem right there.
It'll give face rolling a new dimension on the keyboard.
As we're talking about, you guys are basically active. Like your main posts right now are World of Warcraft and Ultimate Online, where it all started, correct?
That is correct. And really, it's the biggest challenge for the guild, and I'm sure it's one of the huge challenges for other guild masters these days, is with all the free-to-plays, it splinters the guild on what they want to go play. But Sean does a great job keeping our guild intact, having two official forums or two official platforms to play on. So the Syndicate really only has an official presence in two games, but we do have unofficial presences in a lot of what we call segue games until the next big genre comes out. And we're learning quite a bit with the sandbox games on these segue games, as well as being significantly challenged trying to keep the guild active and together online with all the free-to-plays.
From what I'm understanding, you guys are branching out really really well. I mean, you guys are going to have like a presence in Planetside 2 or Z or DayZ and all these other games out there. It seems like you're really just branching out to these different genres and everything about.
Well, Planetside 2 is just an awesome game, and John Smedley and his team at Sony Online Entertainment, super kudos to those guys. We had a lot of fun in beta working with them. We had a lot of fun putting the online website, the wiki, together for them, and we hope everybody likes the content there and will continue to support that. But it's just a great polished game. You can get in there with a bunch of friends and have a lot of fun. And if you see us online, look for us, and we'd be more than happy to go head to head. We'll take the dirt nap just as good as anybody else. if I'm online, I'll have my fair share of dirt. I guarantee it, because I'm not that good of a first person shooter. But DayZ was an interesting one, or WarZ, if you will. And I think this is going to be a huge challenge for a lot of guild masters in the future, which is it's sort of a sandbox from an open resource world where you have to manage the resources not only within your guild but also anybody else who could get them from you. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a lot of complications for a lot of guild masters to work through, keeping their guild in line and maximizing the resources for the benefit of whatever their common goal is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that it's been an extreme challenge with Dragons, the Guildmaster, and my brother Krendel, who was also a member of the guild. I remember in WarZ or in DayZ, he jumped in the guild helicopter, took it, and of course, you know, he was having a little bit too much drink that night and crashed the helicopter. So, you know, here's your safety promo: don't drink and fly online helicopters at the same time. Not a good mix.
Especially when the resources are scarce and everything on that too.
Yeah, he destroyed the helicopter, and it took us weeks to get the helicopter back.
Ouch.
So, way to go, Krendel. You know, good job.
Yeah, don't let me join your guild, because.
Yeah, but no, it's all in good fun. You know, it added a new dimension to it. Not only did we have to go find Krendel and get him back from the zombies, but we also had to go camp the spawn site for the helicopter.
Imagine just you guys out there in force just waiting for the helicopter to spawn. That must have been some interesting times just waiting for it to come back.
Yeah, and it's always interesting when your guild master hunts one of his own guilds to just totally grief him for that event for like a week. But it was all done in good taste and good fun. He knew it was coming. And so wherever he spawned in, I would tell the guildmaster where my brother spawned in, and Sean would spawn in right behind him with a sniper rifle and kill him. It, a lot of good fun there.
You can only imagine. That'd be an interesting sight right there. It's like, why am I dead?
How did that happen? Surprise.
Surprise. Still payback. Still owe us for that helicopter.
Yeah. But hey, I mean, that's part of the cool thing about the Syndicate is we're all friends. We all know each other in real life. And in the bonds that have been built over the last 10 or 15 years, little simple troll activities in a game, they don't add negative stuff. It's all positive for us internally.
It seems like you have like a really positive guild and everything. It seems like there's no inner quarrels and everything. It seems like everybody just seems to get along pretty great with it, each other and everything.
That's another huge kudo to Sean, aka Dragons, for doing that. And one of the tenets is we don't chase endgame raiders, and we don't chase the purple pixels. What we really chase is real life friendships. And if we find you in game and it seems like a great fit in game, before you can actually even become a member, we're going to go find somebody who lives close to you, and we're going to try and make sure that there's some real life interconnects there before you actually get the final invite.
Interesting.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so you make sure you get
Yeah, and it's not
cream of the crop, pretty much. You get a bunch of, like I said, good guys and gals.
So yeah, I know the guild I was in, and WoW, like there were the jerks that were tolerated because they were good at, you know, raiding and whatnot. I'm glad to hear that, you know, the friendship and the community aspect of it comes, you know, kind of first.
It is absolutely all about the guild for the guild. In fact, if you were going to WoW on our server today and asked for help, we would just go bend over backwards to help the community as well as any member who's trying to level up. I mean, that's what the guild is about. We're here for friendship and to have fun online. So yeah, so
really,
look for us.
Real life Knights of Good out there, pretty much. Yeah, I had to throw the guild reference out there.
Sure, why not? and that's what we're there for. You know, we're not only there for each other internally, but we're there to make the game better, whatever platform you're in. Plus, we want to work with developers to make a game that everybody can enjoy. That's why we go out of our way to spend time in the evenings on the weekends to go visit the Sonys of the world, the Electronic Arts, the Blizzards, because we want to make sure when the game is finally launched after beta, that it's a great game and everybody enjoys it.
Yeah, because you guys have that a deal with Prima to help out with the strategy guides and everything as well.
Yeah, and we still do that. I mean, the strategy guides are a way that we can get to learn the game and find some of the quirks and fix them before they're actually released. But it's also a way for us to give back to the community. And I think the latest strategy guide we actually did was for PlanetSide 2 Online. And we're seeing a natural trend to everybody using the wiki more than rather wanting to buy books. So we're seeing a trend in the industry to that direction.
I should check that out because I tried to play PlanetSide 2 and I had no idea what was going on. So I should definitely check that out.
Yeah, the wiki is really easy. It's from a gamer's perspective for a gamer, and it tries to answer the questions that you have or need so that you can maximize your time in game.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, you guys have so many outposts in so many different games right now too. I'm just checking out on your site right now, and you guys seem to be dabbling in a little bit of everything.
And I don't think it's by form, fit, or function on that. I think that's just a function of both of the two platforms we currently play on. They're kind of sort of played out, and you see people starting to wander around, and we're just trying to keep the guild active online. And so we're a little bit fragmented. In the future, you'll see us probably all acquiesce around one big one. Maybe it's EverQuest next, or maybe it's Elder Scrolls. I don't know, but we'll get that announcement. Sean will probably make that announcement at CineCon 13 this year.
So you guys have quite the plethora of resource and knowledge about this stuff.
Well, it's when you're a guild that's 17 years old, you know, just think about what age you started playing games, right? So the average age of the guild is probably 35 or older. So most of us have grown up, and not only are we secret ninjas playing video games, but we're also leaders in the industry, whether it's IT, hardware, software, you name it. We're all techies, and we're in the tech industry.
If only Square Enix had come to you guys to help with the launch of the original launch of Final Fantasy 14, it might not have been so disastrous.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
So let me put it this way. We provide a lot of input, and sometimes it feels like it goes in one ear and out the other ear to the developers. And it's frustrating to really get excited and get invested in some really big games that have come out in the past. I'm not going to mention the developers, the publishers, or the game itself. But we have really said, you know, if you would just do these two or three things, we really think this game would be successful. But the reality is, if you don't, we think the downside is X. And we watched the downside in quite a few games happen. And I'm proud to say that there are a ton of developers out there who do listen to the community as a whole. And I'm glad to be just a small little mouthpiece of that community. And sometimes they listen, and sometimes the games that they put out are really great.
Mm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, on the topic of Final Fantasy 14, I think that honestly, Square Enix has become so insular that you know, even the Syndicate probably couldn't have swayed them away from the disaster that was Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, sometimes the design principles, the corporation itself, get out in front of the developers, and they really don't have too many chess moves to execute, and they're down a path that they just can't get out of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what else is coming? What are you guys officially looking forward to that's coming out, you know, here next, say, 3 years or so before you guys turn 20?
Well, I think what we're experiencing two interesting dynamics internally and externally. So internally, it's we've got to get everybody in the guild back on one or two platforms again. And these Segway games are killing us. But we're
all
really
those free-to-play games, yeah.
Yeah. The free-to-plays are killing us because, you know, with a guild as large as us, you're seeing all these little groups show up and just go play, and then we're losing the big connectivity with the hundreds and 200s of groups of people who like to play together. And typically, WoW was a great vehicle for that for us. So that's why Cinecon 13 is so important coming up. It allows us to reconnect. So we're really working hard to make sure that the next MMO, the big one that comes out, will be a game that lives on beyond just developer content. And I really believe the next generation of an MMO is player-based content, because let's face it, Star Wars proved that the player install base will consume the content quicker than they can create it. And the only way to really have an exciting MMO in the future is to have an MMO where players can create content and really good content and share it with one another, and so that the environment is a function of the players and not vice versa.
Well, when City of Heroes went free to play recently, not too long ago, I actually went on and tried it, and I was surprised with all the because they have like a player developed content as well. You can kind of go in and play modules that are created by players, and they were actually pretty well done, and I was kind of impressed with that aspect of what they've kind of implemented.
There are an amazing group of games out there that are so extremely polished that are free to play. But from my personal perspective, not necessarily the Syndicate, I think most developers have one shot at their install base. If they don't get it right in the beginning, the install base moves on to the next free-to-play game because there's so much choice out there, and they'll hardly ever get them to come back.
Yeah, that seems to be it's like, well, look at Age of Conan, for example. Like, that seems to be one of them right there that had the install base at first. And it has had that massive decline in the install base and everything. So we'll get into this more in the next segment when we talk more about MMOs. But yeah, I think that was a pretty big decline right there, one of them.
Yep. I alluded to internally or externally our second biggest challenge. And, you know, being a 17-year-old guild means most of us are parents and family members now. And something that's been really unique that's been happening to us is what we call the second generation of gamers. So literally, most guilds are friends. We're now experiencing guilds with our children in it. And so not only is it the adults, but it's the children of the adults turning the age of 17 or their early 20s. And so it's quite interesting. It's a brand new dynamic that we could have never interpreted or experienced before. But it's quite interesting getting online, playing with not only your best friend, but their children as well.
Like I said, those kids are turning the 21 issue. We're getting back to that one again, it seems. Going down into the well just a little bit.
I think the best story that I have is my wife, Mrs. Mogg, she's not a gamer. Okay, but I am, and so that creates difficulties unto itself in the house. But when I had the two little Mogs, and my first mission was to make them gamers, and I mission accomplished there. But I do remember sitting at the dinner table one night, and Mrs. Mogg goes to me, "Kids, it's time for dinner," and they yelled out, "But we're killing the final boss here, and we're in the middle of a raid." And so Mrs. Mogg looks at me and says, "Daddy, what are you going to do about this?" So I turned to her and said, "I got it." I said, "Honey, you got to let them finish the raid, and then they have to park their characters in a safe place before they come to the table." Needless to say, there was an additional person in the naughty corner that night that I didn't expect to be there. But I got in trouble. I really enjoy playing with my kids. I enjoy playing with their friends as well as the parents of those friends. And I really think that's going to be a new dynamic of online and virtual gaming. And I look forward to seeing other guilds have fun with that as well.
Yeah, no, that sounds like an incredible bonding experience, like to play with your kids and to play with your friends' kids too. I mean, that just really helps you all grow as almost as a family.
It does, but it's also a stark reminder of, as an adult, your gaming skills suck compared to your children. And you know, it's always the horrible experience to think that there's a 12-year-old girl on the other end of that line who's just getting you in PvP. It's another thing when you see the 12-year-old girl and she's sitting in your house doing it to you. You know? It's horrible. It's horrible. Both of the little mogs are girls, and
I see.
They do a number on me every single time we get online. It's not even funny anymore.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't know this, but I used to teach Kung Fu, so I've been kicked in the head by plenty of teenage girls before, I assure you. And I can't imagine – so I know where you're coming from there.
Yeah. It's just – boy, not very good at games to begin with, and the little enjoyment that I had is getting rubbed in my face at the dinner table now.
All right, guys. I said, really stoked to have you on, man. I can't wait to get into the next segment and everything, but I think that's about to get ready to do us on our first segment here. We'll catch you all after the break.
Haribo, probieren Sie die einzig wahren deutschen Gummibärchen und nicht den amerikanischen Scheiß. Die schmecken nur ranzig und nach Kotze. Die Bären, die Frösche, die Schnecken, alles super lecker und billig ist es auch noch. Kaufen Sie das Original, vertrauen Sie mir. Haribo macht Kinder froh, aber nicht die Amerikaner.
On this episode of Phone Tap, we have a recording dated on July 27th, 2013. Where Phil Fish is having a conversation with Phil Fish on the cancellation of Fez 2.
Why don't people like my ideas?
Because you're stupid. You don't know anything about gaming.
Yes, I do, man. It's not right that you're like... They're treating me like this. I'm an artist. And if they don't understand it, then what's the problem?
It's because they don't like you, Phil Fish. 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 And because of that, they want to bury you. You got to retaliate, Phil Fish.
Okay, I guess I might have to retaliate a little bit. Because my game is the best thing ever. And if they don't like it, then, well, I guess I should maybe cancel it.
That's the right idea, Phil Fish. You want to go ahead and cancel the game, you do. Yes, you do. Fess.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to blow up over the next comment on Twitter, and I'm just going to carry it out like for like 2 or 3 hours while they're posting like a live video or something. And then I'm just going to get really angry.
That's a great way, Phil Fish. Here we go.
Welcome back from the break. We still have Mike, a.k.a. Mog, with us, and Ryan and John as well. Now we talked about the guild. Now, let's get in this good old-fashioned debate forum about MMORPGs in general. I think that'd be a fun thing to do, because we got Ryan, our RPG guy, but not so much MMORPG, and we got, of course, Mike, you know, over there. So it should be a fun little debate going on here.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. You know, I'm getting the feeling that Mike and I come from very different worlds too, because, you know, I have my literature degree, and you know, I'm big into the liberal arts here, and Mike's a technical guy, and I think we really have a showdown coming up here.
I don't think so. You know, I'm all about what looks good is good, so I'm about making a fashion statement with my character online.
Yeah. Your own aesthetics. That's good. That's good.
So let the games begin.
So yeah, I want to go back to, you know, probably towards the beginning of the life cycle of MMORPGs. Let's talk a little about Ultima a little bit. Because when that game launched back in 96, it was big. Even like the Ultima games before that, you know, they still had some elements and everything of multiplayer of such and everything as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Ultima Online was huge.
Oh yeah, it's big. What is there a specific question on the RPG aspect of that?
Yeah, because it really was just like pretty much just like an off branch of like a normal Ultimate game. Because I haven't really played it. You know, that was back in my younger days, my younger kid days. I think it was like in like what, fifth grade at the time or something like that. So I didn't really get experience at all too much.
Unfortunately, I had to play the SNES ports of the Ultimate games. So, and they were quite a bit different than the PC versions, the pure PC versions.
Richard actually has a really great story to tell. If you can find him on some YouTubes or some other type of videos online, but he really talks about the advent of the MMO in that game, where he tells a story about how these guys go out, they fight the boss, they come back with the boss, and that was what they wanted to get out of the game, was fighting the bosses and leveling up. And as they're coming back to one of the major cities in Britannia, they stumble across some other guy just there fishing. And that's what he wanted to get out of the game. He was going to catch some fish, and then he was going to take these fish and go back to the city and sell the fish and make money. And that's what he wanted to. And there was a great role-playing experience that came out of it. Have you guys ever heard of that one?
I've heard of like stories like that. Like, I don't know if I heard exactly that same story, but you know, it's like the experience they wanted with the games is to, you know, have people do what they want pretty much, and they can do it, you know.
Yeah,
you're not just forced to go to point A to point B to point C.
I remember just to get to the end. Yeah, I remember Sid Meier talking about something very much like this with the Civilization games, in saying that, you know, the player writes their own story for their character, and no matter what that story is, it's always valid because it's created by the character. Mm-hmm. And that's what draws people into his Civilization games and MMOs in general, where you have this large expansive world, but no one's really hitting you over the head telling you how to play the game.
Well, I never played Star Wars Galaxies, but from what I've heard, that seems to be one of the best, the better ones that kind of implement that. Because I knew a lot of people that they played that game and they didn't go out and kill a single thing. They were just crafters, or they were like involved in government, that sort of thing. Really, ancillary to the combat aspect that, you know, everyone's trying to pew pew.
Yeah,
and that really brings everything together from the MMORPG aspect. If you like role-playing games, if you like the total immersion, I mean, it's really cool to play a game by yourself and say, I'm this character and I'm going to be the hero in the story. But it's also really cool to interface with other people in the game and then take the storyline somewhere else and then have friends be part of that story.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, people want to have that connection, you know, and some ways that's how they get their, you know, connection and everything. Because after that, you went from Ultima, we went right into like EverQuest, and EverQuest just changed like the mold, you know, that much further. You know, you had the 3D models now, and you were going around and just doing more so than you could in Ultima, and it just ever evolving pretty much.
Yeah,
I remember trying to play EverQuest, and either my internet was really horrible, or my computer was. I would literally fall asleep waiting for a zone to load because it would take like 30 minutes, and I wanted to play it so bad, but like my computer was just not cooperating.
That was back in the wild, wild west of the internet. That was like the 56 back in the 56K days.
Yeah. Yeah.
56K. That's great.
Yeah, we can all laugh about that now, but it was kind of tragic at the time.
Oh, yeah. But we didn't know any better. We thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I got 56K.
And I can't make a phone call right now, but that's fine. I don't need a phone. I'm surfing the internet. I'm playing a game.
And then you get the phone bill and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What just happened?
Kids nowadays, they just don't know. They don't know what it's like. I'm feeling a very Comcast moment here.
Yeah.
About kids not knowing what it was like back in the day.
Yeah,
Back in my day.
And it's not walking up the hill both ways in snow. It's, I used to have 56K upload and download.
Yeah. Exactly. My
downloads took 20 minutes.
I had to walk uphill both ways to get to the internet.
For 5 megabytes, took 20 minutes.
Oh, God. Back when I was playing video games, the evil character was a large capital A on the screen, and it was only in black and green.
And we liked it.
Yeah.
And that was cool when they had new fonts.
When they had that color blue, my mind was blown.
Except the blue screen of death, which is, you know, the ultimate enemy to to any old school RPG player was Windows 3.1.
Oh God! Yeah. Oh, that's back in the day with that's not 5 1/4 disc. That's what the three or whatever three and a half disc.
Yeah. Gosh.
Now we don't even have discs anymore. They're gone. It's all USB or downloaded content.
Yeah.
It's all in the cloud nowadays. Virtualization.
That's some cool stuff there. Well, thanks for helping me reminisce.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a trip through time right now. We're now in the EverQuest phase.
Yeah.
And that game was unforgiving compared to today's MMORPGs.
Yeah, no kidding.
Die. Oh, well, you lost 2 levels. Way to go. Go back to start.
Yeah. Exactly.
Not like $200.
Totally destroyed by, like, you know, first level like rabbits or whatever, a rat.
you know you fought really good when a rat would kill you or a bat.
But there was something cool really about having that experience be negative to a certain degree. So you just, you know, I love first person shooters and eating dirt all the time in those. But you know, there's also sort of some dedication to not dying all the time and sort of honing your craft online as a player, whether it's a healer or a warrior or a DPSer, you know, that there's something cool about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And didn't EverQuest really start like the trinity pretty much of the healer, the tank, and the DPS as well? Correct. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. You know, EverQuest, I think that's probably where the Holy Trinity was born out. I'm sure some people would argue otherwise, but I don't know. Recollection tonight. I'm good with that.
Yeah. I mean, you can always even just go back to Dungeons & Dragons tabletop.
Right.
Yeah, no. I mean, but in terms of games, yeah, that's more or less where it started.
Man, now that's really going old school.
If you really want to go old school, let's go back to Advanced Dungeons & Dragons right there. Talk about that. We are now, by the way, this is no longer a video game podcast. We are now officially a tabletop RPG podcast. So for the rest of this 25 minutes, we're going to be talking about Dungeons and Dragons and sorts.
Hey, and I'll sort of tie it together. If you do want to come to CineCon 13, you'll get a heavy dose of Dungeons and Dragons or Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, the board game. We still play that.
Nice. Yeah,
I think you guys should like come host it in Indianapolis and like have your convention like in coinciding with Gen Con.
I was just getting your fix on. It's like, we're the syndicate, we're here. Let's go show up the mass force, you know, in the convention hall.
We wouldn't know who's who because everybody would dress up and we're like, hey, is that one of us?
Just have them all wear armbands. That's all you got to do. Let's give them the syndicate armbands.
Oh, yeah. Well, instead of T-shirts at the conferences, we'll switch to headbands or ankle bracelets or something.
you can't use
one of us.
Yeah, you can't use yellow though. That's a Suikoden thing. That's the yellow headband.
we'll stay away from that.
But you can use a let's see what's close enough to yellow without actually being yellow. What about a neon yellow headband? Can they do that?
I think we'll allow that.
Like fuchsia, like a fuchsia yellow, like go back to the 80s there, like a throwback.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with the 80s, and there's nothing wrong with fuchsia.
Yeah, haters gonna hate, man. Haters gonna hate, but.
Yeah, and I bet we still wear our little Izods with the collars up, right?
Wait, those went out of style? I don't know.
Hammer pants are out of style? I'm wearing hammer pants right now.
Oh, that's a shame that the conversation has gotten here.
So anyways, let's try
welcome to the Game Buddy Funcast.
Nothing really stays on topic.
Yeah.
All right, let's try and get back on track, guys. So, from anyways, here we go. From EverQuest, we went to what was the big one after EverQuest?
There was Dark Age.
Was WoW, right? Well, it was Dark Age of Camelot. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Dark Age.
I think that was for a long time because I think that historically people consider that having the best PvP ever in an MMO.
Man, that was one of my favorite games of all time. I tell you, I really, really enjoyed that game.
Mm-hmm. And then Anarchy Online was around the same time too, right?
Well, Microsoft came out with Asheron's Call not too long, right?
Asheron's Call, Anarchy. I'm trying to pull back to my old G4 Portal references here and what they showed on it. So it was like Anarchy Online.
Shadowbane came out for a very, very brief amount of time there too, right?
Mm-hmm. About that timestamp,
yeah.
So yeah, those are the. Go ahead.
That was really, you know, the whole realm on realm thing where it was PvE and then PvP. That's when it really started to come together and acquiesce as far as a strategy and a vision and how to integrate those two things.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah.
I still remember going to the backside of I guess it was Camelot. Back when I was just like a level 10 there, and most of the guys have been deep into the game, and I saw this large battalion starting to form up in groups of platoons before they were getting ready to head north into the winter area and go do some PvP. But
these are players forming up in platoons?
Yeah. There must have been 200 or 300 of them, and it was one organized guild. I was just rolling around on the server having fun. But yeah, I remember that. And I said, "Well, that's cool," you know,
because stuff up.
And of course, I followed him out there, and you know, I didn't make it past the gate, but that's another story. And
you just want to see what's going to happen. Entertainment right there.
And of course, I was the first guy to fall in the combat. But then again, I probably would have been the first guy to fall if I was level 50 at that time too. So it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It kind of just worked out in the end.
Yeah, great game. Love the RPG aspect of that. Love the MMO aspect of it. Love the PvP. And really can't wait for Mark Jacobs to bring back Camelot Unchained, which is just RVR the whole way through. So that's going to be an exciting game coming out in the future.
Oh, so that is directly tied with Dark Age of Camelot? Like maybe not like an actual sequel, but kind of like the spiritual sequel.
Spiritual successful, yeah. That's successor of that.
That's a nice way of putting it. Although I don't want to be on record or anywhere near Mark Jacobs. If you know anything about Mark Jacobs, you don't want to be anywhere close to him when something like that is mentioned, unless he blesses it. So, no, I'm looking forward to talking to Mark at the convention at Syndicon 13 and hearing his input and his vision of it. You can go look at the Unchained stuff. There's plenty of stuff out there and virtues and tenets and stuff, but it is a full RVR game. There is no PvE aspect of it. Everything is built around RVR.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, his vision is evolving as we speak, and the game is evolving too, but it's going to be an exciting game. If you like Dark Ages of Camelot, you might want to take a look at this game.
I mean, that makes sense because, I mean, that's what really kept that game alive for so long, even after, like, its graphics were way, way outdated. It still had a strong fan base because of that strong realm versus realm PvP element.
And people still play to this day. Still to this day.
Server's still alive? Wow.
Yeah.
I know it was like a couple years ago at least.
It's awesome.
I remember some of my best role-playing experiences I had on that server. There was a whole bunch of people who role-played back in Dark Ages at Camelot. Good group of people.
I know the first time I was blown away by an MMO and this is kind of like the next cycle after the games we've already discussed, but it was Asheron's Call 2. I think it was the first one. I don't know if it was the first one that did it, but it was the first one I saw that you could go from one end of the map to the other without a loading screen.
Wow.
Like, and I just thought that was so amazing at the time. Like, I was like, how are they doing this? Like, I couldn't wrap my head around how it was done. It did, seriously.
It's like, I could do this? Yeah. New things are possible, folks. One of the map, the next in, no loading screen, no buffering, just right in there, killing my bats, my bunny rabbits.
Got this. Yeah, good times.
Memories. After that, though, you had the EverQuest Adventures for the PlayStation 2, I know, came out. I don't know how huge a success that was. That was really my first foray into the EverQuest games. Huh. And we're beta testing that because, you know, I lied about my age and said I was 18 at the time. But, you know, I did that for a lot of games. So I got my WoW beta testing and everything. It's lied about my age. It's like, I'm beta testing this. I want to. And it was fun. It was definitely a fun experience. You know, I still got killed by bats, but never really made it that far level wise than that. Because I always got sidetracked and I was like, ooh, what's over there? And I just go to places where I shouldn't even be at yet. I was like, just getting killed left and right. And I couldn't make my way back. Had to create a new character. Did the same thing. I never learned from my mistakes. It's like, hey, what's over there? That's the appeal for me for MMORPGs, especially when they're new. It's like that moment. Yeah. It's like, hey, what's over there? I want to go and see what's going on over in this place over here.
Yeah, and that's definitely one of the best aspects of the MMO is just the exploration aspect and the discovering of this entirely new world, right? And just the imagination that inspires in you.
That really touched a point when you got to World of Warcraft when that came out. I was a big Warcraft 1, Warcraft 2 fan, and when that game hit, and Warcraft 3, when that game hit, because I remember reading back when it was like an alpha and stuff like that, I was so excited about it and everything. It's like finally MMO for Warcraft, and it just like blew my mind, especially when I was beta testing it. And again, that's when my shiny moment kicked in, and I just randomly see if I could swim to other continent, and obviously you can't. You'll die horribly, but because I didn't know about boats.
You didn't know about
them. So I tried to swim there. It wasn't the best idea.
Oh God, that's hilarious. Oh, I bring back some old memories. Whew.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one who's done stupid things in a game.
I thought I could. It's like, maybe I can make this.
Yeah, and
maybe I'll find a little island. I can catch my breath and get my stamina back. What was I wrong?
Or when your best friend's a paladin, and he has that paladin bubble, and he jumps off the side of the cliff and says, "Follow me," and you follow him, and then you just go splat on the bottom of the ground.
Oh, my favorite thing.
And he's standing there.
Yeah, my favorite thing though is when Wrath of the Lich King came out, and they had the motorcycle. And I'd have people hop in the trunk, and I'd just, like, drive off a cliff while they were inside of it. I'd parachute out of it. I would just parachute out of it. It's like, well, it sucks to be you. I was an ass.
What was that one place? It was on the jungle part of the continent. And you could climb, you go all the way up to the top, and you get the parachute, and you can jump off. Do you remember that one?
Zone? I know what zone you're talking about. I just can't think of the name of it right now.
In the Wrath of the Lich King area in that expansion?
No. This is the base game.
It was Stranglethorn Vale. Stranglethorn Vale? Was that it?
Might have been. Gosh, I thought it was in the other continent, though. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is there was this thing you could go all the way to the top, and it was a monumental effort to get up there. And then there's some guy who sells a parachute. You get the parachute and you jump off. I remember taking my brother Krendel up there. And, of course, I got the parachute, didn't tell him, and then said, come on, watch this. This is great. And so I jump off, and then he's hesitant, sees the parachute, and he goes, and I go, it's automatic. It opens. Just jump.
Nice. Man, I never knew it didn't. Of course, because I started in Burning Crusades, so – I missed out on all the joy of vanilla WoW.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so great. Of course, it was unforgiving. That's why I think what people really liked and latched onto it was unforgiving. You actually had to form your groups to go to do the instances, and you had to actually ride them out there, walk there, or whatever. And now it's just like I click a button, I'm in an instance. I click a button now, I'm in a raid.
And Naxx was actually hard back then.
Yeah, what about the times when you go into the Barrens and get the endless Chuck Norris jokes? I mean, that was some of the best stuff. I mean, they're endless. And, you know, I've actually seen that evolve into something new. When I was in Star Wars The Old Republic a couple of weeks ago, everything is morphed into Revenge of the Jawa or the Jawa Unchained, the D is silent. So, you know, with the Django coming out and the Jawas in the game, it's really taken on a life of its own. It's pretty darn funny to see the trolls go off on stuff like that. Some of America's best and brightest are still at work.
That's good to know. At least I can go. I have faith in that right now. I know it's going to be there for me. It's like that, yeah, in every game. So from World of Warcraft, we went to EverQuest 2 came out, I believe. That was the next big one after that.
Didn't they come out at about the same time?
It was about the same. Well, it was about a year or two later. Because I remember while I was already out, I was at Gen Con. The first year Gen Con was in Indy, and they were talking about EverQuest 2, and they had some booths set up to show That's it right. off and everything.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
So it was like a year or two after a while.
I didn't jump into WoW straight away. I think I went to Vanguard before I went to WoW, and then I ended up going to EverQuest 2 because I thought that would be the next great game and it would flop, and then I ended up in WoW. So, no, you're right. EverQuest 2 was after WoW.
Yeah, it was sometime after. I don't know how many years. Maybe like a year or so, maybe a year or two.
Yep. Good game, but, you know, I wonder why that game didn't take off. Because it had all the elements necessary to make a great game.
It did. I think people were just so heavily involved in WoW at the time. WoW was the killer app right there. And that had the huge chunk of the market. And they just couldn't get anybody to move from WoW over to EverQuest 2. Because all the old EverQuest players went into WoW. And I don't think some of them left WoW. I think that's what probably happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But EverQuest 2 was a great game, and still is a good game if you go play it. But it, you know, it's one of those things that there's a lot of choices out there now that's new and fresh.
Yeah, I know a few people that have actually went back to EverQuest 2 after going to WoW and Rift and whatnot. They've actually kind of migrated back to kind of live there for a while.
What came after EverQuest 2? Was that Rift? From the next big
game? It was like the Rift and Terra. No, it was Guild Wars. Guild Wars and City of Heroes were the big games.
And then,
which I think after that, City of Heroes, I spent way more time just designing my characters and creating them than I did actually playing, I think.
Yeah, I don't think I ever made it up to Cap in City of Heroes. Again, that was one of those unforgiving RPGs, unlike WoW really was at the time, and the XP debt just kind of killed me.
Yeah, but the character creation was awesome, though. Oh, you got to admit, you really enjoyed making a superhero.
Yeah, you really did. Mm-hmm. They had so many options. Of course, a lot of people just made knockoff characters from other things, which leads into them making a DC MMO after that, so there's no point in them to.
Which I think the DC MMO is really good. Like, I've really liked the time that I've spent in it. You know, as little as it is, I've had a lot of fun in it.
The DC Universe online game?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. That was one of the games we spent a lot of time working with Sony to develop.
And, like, the combat in that was so refreshing. Like, and just different feeling.
That created the term action MMO and ammo. That brought that new generation of aspect to the gaming together, which I thought was really cool, as well as the dynamic duo. You know, that was the two-person instance was pretty cool too.
Yeah, and after that, so the City of Heroes thing, granted, of course, City of Heroes and what was the other one we were saying?
DC Universe.
No, DC was Guild Wars. Yeah, after the Guild Wars was a good game too. I mean, that one kind of broke the mold because you just like buy it. That's kind of what almost started the free to play market. I think was the first Guild Wars. So you just bought the standalone copy. You didn't have a sub fee or anything on it.
Yeah.
I think that's what pretty much did the start. Other than like the Korean MMOs, obviously that came out that really hit the ground because apparently they have a lot of them over there. That really started that and sparked that as well.
I really wanted to play the Shenmue MMO, but never came over here.
Yeah.
It was really big in Korea, though, I heard.
Well, everyone loves Shenmue, so I mean, it can't be bad, can it?
Surely not.
And of course, you had the modern ones like the Matrix Online that came out in between it. You had Matrix Online, or some of the other minor ones that came out in that timetable. I know Matrix was one of them.
I don't remember the Matrix one, but I do remember a story of a friend telling me about what happened when they ended the beta on the Matrix Online. Is they were trying to get people to log off, but for some reason they couldn't just shut down the server. And so what happened is when they were trying to shut down the beta, they started flooding the area with agent enemies to just start killing off players so they'd have to log out. But unfortunately, what happened is the players banded together around Neo and Trinity and Morpheus, who were like, you know, super powerful, you know, max level, whatever. And they would just kill off all the agents for them. So what they ended up having to do to end the beta was they actually made Trinity, Morpheus, and Neo evil. They rewrote the code to train them into agents and attack players so they could finally get everyone off the server and end the beta. Yeah.
That actually sounds way more cool than anything else.
That's a great story right there.
Yeah. No, I have a friend who played the Matrix MMO, and he told me that story, and I still remember it, yeah.
So I feel that we totally just skipped over Star Wars Galaxies, wasn't that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was another big one, yeah. Again, that's one of those games we talked about a little bit earlier, but yeah, that was one of the big ones, too, that came out.
I mean, that was really huge until, like, they just kind of did an update that just kind of upset half the fan base, right?
Well, it took forever for people to get Jedis, and they finally made it easy mode to get Jedis. That really upset the people that actually had to work to get to become a Jedi. Because now anybody could become a Jedi.
Yeah, I remember that being a huge thing right there, yeah.
Which I never played. I kind of regret not have ever played it, but, yeah. I heard it was a big time sink,
I just
though.
Stuck my big toe into it. I didn't get a chance to commit to that one because I still had, I think, WoW playing at that time, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what came after that? Was that like Lord of the Rings after that one?
Lord of the Rings, Age of Conan.
That's right.
I think Warhammer.
Warhammer, yeah. I never really played any of those MMOs, so... Mm.
Yeah.
Because I was still stuck on WoW.
I just didn't have the time to commit to that.
That's back when I needed my WoW fix. And then I joined the military, too, so that kind of made it hard. So. Yeah. And what was after those? That's when I think Champions Online came out. DC Universe was around that time. Rift. Yeah. Because now we're getting closer to the modern age right now.
Yeah. I think Rift really just kind of straddled that gap there. Because, you know, not long after Rift was the end of Wrath of the Lich King and
it was like it was the end of Wrath when that came out, when Rift did come out. And it went right and then Cataclysm came out, and a lot of people switched over to Rift for the time being. Sorry, that's all the time we have. I wish we'd go a little bit farther in this, but that's going to wrap it up from the Game Buddy Funcast for this show, guys. And hope you guys all enjoyed it. So, hey, see you all next time. And Ryan, you want to lead us out?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back on, guys. I'd be glad to be back on anytime. Visit us all at facebook.com/ Suikoden and Revival. And take it easy.
And also make sure you go check out the Syndicate's page. Just look them up. It is www.lts.org.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with everyone.
Awesome.
Glad to have you.
Yeah.
Catch you all next time, guys. Stay classy.